Today on Real Radio.
I'm talking about succeeding in the Spirit. Always have Christ in the forefront of your life. Put Christ as the object of your affection, and everything else in this life will come to pass according, not your will, not my will, a better will. Whose is it? God's will.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his study series through Revelation. You know, in this day and age, when we hear the word worship, we often erroneously relegate the term to the music sung in a church service. And of course, it's so much more than that. In fact, it should take place every day throughout the day for the true believer. Well, chapter 5 of this apocalyptic report gives us an idea of what real worship is. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
We come to this portion of Scripture where it has been considered the most important chapter of the entire Bible. You might say, well, that's quite a tall statement. Well, there's quite a tall order that's presented in the book of Revelation chapter 5, and that is where we left off last time. John was looking across the heavenly host and those of the earth and those in the spirit realm or under the earth, and there was this question asked, who is worthy to take the scroll, the seven sealed scroll, from the hand of him who sits on the throne? And John says, as he looked around throughout all of creation, the angelic host, throughout all the universe, there was not found one person worthy to take the scroll out of the hand of God the Father and to open or to loose its seals. And if you were not here, you're going to ask the question, what in the world is this scroll regarding the seals? Well, get the CD that we just got done talking about and listen to it and catch up. But in a nutshell, it is this. When Adam sinned, he, so to speak, took the escrow papers of the earth and he forfeited them into the hands of Satan. And the Bible says in numerous places, referring to Satan, the devil, that he is the god of this world, a little g in that G-O-D, but he's the ruler of the prince of the powers that be, that he is the prince of the air. He's the one that wreaks havoc in the earth. And in a very true way, Satan has sway. He has, so to speak, 51% of the controlling powers that are in this world. That explains a lot. And we talked about that last time as to why the world is so messed up. Many people will blame God. Why this? Why that? The truth is, Satan is wreaking havoc in the earth. And the next question you might have, which is a really reasonable question, why doesn't God do something about it? Oh, he has, he is, and he will. And it's the he will part that I really like. Pastor, are you into fire and brimstone? No, but I am when it lands on Satan's head. Listen, we've read the book, and we're reading the book. Are you reading the Bible, everybody? Are you doing it? Are you doing it? Listen, for those of you who've missed, remember the rule. If you've missed the day-by-day reading through the Bible, by the way, it's online now. If you happen to be traveling somewhere in the world, log on to our website, and you can still keep up with this. But if you've missed a few days, remember, start today. That's the cool thing about it. Don't miss, start today. If you miss, get back in it. If you have time to catch up, do it later, but stay current with the rest of the body. By the way, we are now approaching, you have purchased 2,600 Bibles, and you're reading through them day by day, and that's a great, great thing. Why do I bring that up? Because we have read or we're reading the Bible from cover to cover, and when you come to the end of the book of Revelation, and you come to the end of the chapter of the book of Revelation, we win. Satan loses, the score definitely is in our favor. So this morning, if you're taking notes, I encourage you to do that. As we looked at Revelation chapter 5 this morning, verses 8 to 14, the title of the message is On Your Mark, Get Set, Fall Down, because that's what we're going to see. As those who are in heaven and those that worship the Lord will fall down and give Him their love and adoration. Before we get into it, do you remember this show, some of you? And by the way, since I've seen you last, I had a birthday, and that birthday means that I'm a little bit older, which when I bring things up like I'm about to do, makes me feel really, really old. Do you remember a show called To Tell the Truth? Remember that when they'd all walk in and there was a panel for those of you who are under 50 or something, or I don't know, but here's how it went. There would be a panel. Most of them would be like movie stars or somebody. They're on a panel. There's about five or six of them, and they would have their little sheet of paper. They would be ready to write things down, and then they would open a door and about five or six people would walk in, and they would take their seats and they would sit down, and then the host would say, now, you are, and he looks to the contestants that walked in, you are Joe Christian. And we want to know a little bit about you, and our panel's going to guess who the real Joe Christian is. And really, one of them was the real Joe Christian. All of the rest of them were imposters, and they would do their best to fake you out. And as they would try to fake you out, whoever faked out the most people in the end with the score won some kind of a prize, you know? But then in the end, remember, anybody remember? In the end, the host would say, will the real Joe Christian please stand up? And they would go like this. Remember how they would kind of do that little thing? They're like, who? And you're like, who is it? It's him. No. And the guy would almost stand up and then sit back down. And then some guy would just finally just stand up. And then they would say, yes, this is the real Joe Christian. And this is what he's accomplished in his life. He didn't do all that much for, you know, saving the world, and he didn't do all that much in cleaning the church. He didn't do all that much in tithing. He didn't do all that much in children's ministry. He didn't do all that much in this. But you know what the real Joe Christian did? He worshiped and loved the Lord God Almighty. And everybody would say, oh, you know, and that's tremendous. And the real Joe Christian would stand up. And that's what we see in heaven in Revelation chapter 5, is that the real Christians in the end, they will stand up to give God glory, and they will fall down to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's a tremendous thing. Revelation chapter 5, you can follow along with me, verse 8. John says, now when Jesus, had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, that's Jesus Christ, which having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, and they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Then he says, I looked, verse 11, and heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Verse 13, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that is in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Then the four living creatures, I love that word then, you should circle it, then, only then. The four living creatures said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. This morning we're going to look at a few things. We will not get all the way through this. It's too glorious. It's too fantastic. But we're going to get into enough that it's my heart's desire that A, if you're a Christian, provokes you to more passionate worship. B, if you're not a Christian, that you would join us in falling down, as it were, to worship this God who says that he has loved you with an everlasting love. This God who is holy, this God who sent his son to the cross to die for your sin and mine in totality, all sin. That it's this God that came. The Bible says that we, John speaks, we beheld his glory, the only Son of God, the begotten or glorified is the word Son of God. We beheld his glory. And it's the fact that God, and the word is tabernacled, lived, dwelt among us. John says, we saw him, we touched him, we heard him. The Bible says, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was revealed to mankind in the flesh. He is the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. So on your mark, get set, fall down. Look at verses 8 through 10. On your mark, that is this. Point number one, direct your eyes toward heavenly sights. Put your citizenship, your attention, your mind in heaven. That's where we're going. And John is telling us, and he opens up by saying here in verse 8, now when he, that is the Lamb, Jesus Christ, had taken the scroll, the living creatures, four of them, the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each of them having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. What do we learn from that? That the first thing that we realize about getting on our mark, and I'll explain what that means in a moment, that by getting on our mark, we focus on the fact that Jesus Christ is the object of our affection. Christian, you need to write that down almost right now in your diary, in your note-taking, or in the margins of your Bible. You need to ask yourself that question. As a Christian, is Jesus Christ the focal point, the object of my affection? Why is that important? Because if Christ is the object of your affection, guess what? You are going to join a crowd of people in heaven who will be worshiping him for all eternity. Well, what if Jesus is kind of on a... Look, Jesus does not want to be number one on a list of 10. He wants to be number one on a list of one. No other gods before me, says the scripture. He and he alone is to be worshiped. We see angels worshiping him. We see the heavenly host worshiping him. We see the elders worshiping him in heaven. And we see all the redeemed worshiping Christ in heaven. And it's the will of God the Father that you and I worship his son, Jesus Christ. It's a great shift that we see here beginning at verse 8, though. And I want you to mark it that way. When the word here in verse 8 says now, you should mark it, you should circle it and highlight it, because it means that there's been a complete and radical presentation, announcement. There's, as it were, a flash. You know, you don't notice clouds so much at night because it's dark. But when a lightning bolt flashes out of that cloud, it gets your attention, doesn't it? Why? Because it has interrupted what looks or what has been gloomy and foreboding. That's exactly true with this little word now. It's so important. Why? Because when he says now, when he, that is Jesus, took the scroll out of the hand of him who sat on the throne, it deals with the first seven verses of chapter 5. Remember, John was weeping. He was weeping, and we saw that the word in the Greek in the original scripture means that he was heaving convulsively. He was sobbing with great, great concern that there was nobody able, even though John knew, because he's an old man now, he knew that Jesus had risen from the dead. He saw that. He had spoken to Christ in his earthly life after the cross. After the tomb, he saw Christ ascend. But when John is given this heavenly revelation of the things to come, so lost is the world. And I know some people in here maybe are listening, you don't want to hear this, but it is true. Please understand, the world's lost. That's why it struggles the way that it does. It's trying to find its way. That's why the world tries everything it can to try to pull off some sort of sense. Try this. Snort this, shoot this up, drink this, hold on to this, sit on this crystal, rub this rock, look to that star, get into the horoscope, read this. What is the world saying? The world is saying this. We're in an absolute panic. We don't have the answers. Before we have a heart attack, we'll try everything we can. And as I've said before, cracks me up, we've got radio telescopes looking out into space. One of the most sensitive listening spots is in Hawaii, looking out to space up there, looking for intelligent life. And I told you before, I want God, it's just one prayer, Lord, just one prayer. Either part a cloud or rip open the universe or get a big zipper, stick his face through and say, hey, I'm right here, that intelligent life you're looking for, I'm right here. I would just love to see that. The world is desperate. The answer's Christ. Well, I don't want religion. The answer's Christ. I don't want to join a church. The answer's Christ. It's not religion. It's not this church or any church. If some church or if some group of people come up to you and say, we are the only way to God, join us and follow us, you will fall into a ditch, could be in the end, in a horrible destruction. No, a true work of God is one that says, you know what? You want to join us, it's up to you if you want. There's really no joining us, but if you want to sit with us and stand with us and lift your hands with us and sing with us, we reflect and deflect all glory and honor unto the Lord God Almighty. It's Christ who died for us. And those that are in heaven will be worshiping him as such. And the question is, have we set our mark upon Christ as our affection? Is he the love of your life? The amazing thing is you can answer that question right now, right where you're sitting. I don't want to hear it physically. I don't need to. It doesn't matter. I can't do anything about it if you do or if you don't. But isn't it awesome to think that if the Holy Spirit, if these are his words in teaching by the gift of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, he would be asking you and I this morning, is my son the object of your affection? You're going to have to answer him. You can't ignore him. You can put your finger in your ears all you want. He's talking to your head and he's talking to your heart. He'll talk to both, you know. He gave you a brain to use it. So use it and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven. Christ is the object of affection. It says there that the four living creatures and the 24 elders, and here's what I want you to mark, they fall down. Yes, we'll study that later, but here's the point. Before the Lamb. Note that. It's not before a host of angels. It's not before anything else. In fact, what's amazing to me is that they fall down before the Lamb. Now look, isn't the Father worthy of worship? Yes. Is the Holy Spirit worthy of worship? Yes. Isn't it interesting that the star of heaven is a lamb? The lion of the tribe of Judah, says the Bible. His name is what? Jesus. He's the object. And so the question is, if we're going to be on our mark, what does all that mean? Is he the affection of our heart? Is Jesus the central figure of our soul? Listen to what Noah Webster said about this word mark. Noah Webster states that the word mark or to mark means that it is the place of beginnings. It's the port of origin for a journey, albeit a quick sprint or a global journey. Global or quick sprint. The mark is where you begin. Doesn't that just dovetail perfectly with what Jesus has already said to the churches when he said, you have left your first love? You've left your mark. Now, I got news for you. If you've ever seen a sprinter, what does he do before he sprints? In the Olympics or at a high school meet, for that matter, it's a track meet. Listen, before you sprint, what do? Did anybody sprint? Well, yeah, you stretch. But before the gun goes off, where are you? Yeah, I heard it. You're in the blocks. And remember, I used to sprint, if you can believe that or not. I was thinner in those days. I would get in the blocks, and you know how, have you ever seen, ever watched the Olympics, or again, a high school meet? You get in the blocks, and you kind of feel, then you get back up, and you're just like, oh. And then you get in the blocks, and that just doesn't feel right, and you're fixing your thing, you know, and it's like, will you get in the blocks? The guy keeps getting in, getting out, getting in, getting out. Why? Because the race is won in the block. It's where it all happens. You don't want to stick to the block. You want to be off the block. But how you position yourself on the block determines The mark or point of origin. And that's interesting to me that the ref or the ump or the one presiding over would say, on your mark. And I wonder how many Christians this morning are on their mark. I'm not asking about how you feel. I was looking around at some of you walking in. This is first service, by the way. You guys are doing great. First service, you guys are great. You sing. Don't tell this is second service. Please don't say this is second. You guys sing louder. You come walking in. You know what? It's kind of a thing. You would think people who come to first service, it's like, first service kills. You're not like that. First service comes in. You've been up for a long time. It's like, all right, let's go. We got the day to live, and we're going to put Christ first, and here we go. Now, all right now. Well, hang on. Let that go to your heart, not your head. Second service or a future third service, you know, that just come in. You know, it's like, oh, where are we? You know, how'd the car get us here? No. First and second service, you guys are on your mark. Now you can start the tape. First and second service, you're on your mark. And that is, you know, where are you? Have you come this morning to worship Christ and to learn more about Christ and to find out, hey, I'm going to go to church today. I know we're in Revelation chapter 5, and I want to have heaven rehearsed in my head. I want to know what to do. I don't want to be walking around up in heaven not knowing what to do. So we're in Revelation chapter 5. And the first thing that you do right now is you set your mark. And your mark is Christ the object of your affection? You got to answer that question. Acts chapter 2, verse 24 says, whom God has raised from the dead, preaching Christ they were, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that death should hold him. Don't you love that? For David, speaking concerning Christ, said, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should never be moved. Hey, you want to live life successfully? And I don't mean money, or and I don't mean health, and I don't mean any other way, though those would be nice things, wouldn't it? I'm talking about succeeding in the Spirit. Always have Christ in the forefront of your life. Put Christ as the object of your affection, and everything else in this life will come to pass according, not your will, not my will, a better will. Whose is it? God's will. Matthew 6:33 should be the motto of every church and Christian. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things shall be added unto you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a look at the last few verses of Revelation chapter 5, the passage that records some sneak previews into the very throne room of our Lord. We'll continue with more of this presentation on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Listen, if you're really fascinated by works like Revelation and other passages that speak of end times and the second coming, then you certainly would want to know what the Bible says about those who war against Israel. The topic has undoubtedly come to mind, especially in recent days. Well, to find out, Pastor Jack's recent prophecy update tells us all about that and a lot more. Pastor Jack's informants, coupled with Scripture, tells it all. Now, you can hear the message online at www.realradioactive.org, or better yet, get a CD for yourself or a friend. Jack Hibbs Prophecy Update. It's yours for a donation of any amount. Just visit www.realradioactive.org to donate. Everything is self-explanatory right there on the front page. Or if you prefer, call or write us. Just be sure and mention Jack Hibbs Prophecy Update on CD. Our phone number, 909-393-7100. 909-393-7100. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. If you missed any of that information, remember you can find it all at realradioactive.org. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.